So in the last, I'd say maybe 2 months, Father Conway and I have had those dinners that we auctioned off at the various fundraisers between Immaculate Conception and here at St. Wenceslaus. And it was interesting because each time people were there, we were getting things ready, and the question would come up, Fathers, what can we do to help? What can we do to help? And I can't say too much about that because that's what I do when I'm at my parents' house, but why is it so darn hard for us to accept somebody else taking care of us? Right? We have it programmed into us that it is not appropriate, even if we are invited as a guest, even if we have donated to be somewhere, that we wouldn't have to do anything. It just goes against something inside of us. And so it's really this that I want us to maybe spend some time with the Lord on today as we hear the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, as I've said before, is a story that the church fathers understood not first as an instruction on how we are to take care of others. That's certainly there, but it is a proclamation of how God has cared for us. Jesus himself is the Good Samaritan, and we are the one who has been robbed and left half dead on the side of the road. Okay, that's fine. That's a nice theological fact, but most of us have that question pop up in our head. Okay, but what can I do to help? That's nice. I know I've been redeemed, but what can I do to help? I don't know if this is the result of us being raised with that sort of American work ethic that becomes an idolization of work and busyness and toil, or if it's vestiges of a kind of culture of niceness within the church where we all remember being taught over and over and over that Jesus wants us to serve others, and so we really struggle to accept the fact that the Lord is still among us as one who serves. But either way, it's detrimental to our spiritual life if we don't let Jesus take care of us, because we then are like St. Peter, who says, Lord, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you have no part in me. And that doesn't go away. It isn't just symbolic of baptism or of receiving the sacrament of reconciliation. This is an ongoing reality that God desires to take care of us and that we are in continual need of being taken care of. So, as we just think perhaps of this week, where have we allowed ourselves to be cared for? It's a good way to begin taking stock. And if going to the spiritual immediately is difficult, think of those relationships that God has given to us. So spouses, how have you allowed yourself to be cared for by your spouse? Where have you allowed yourself to be cared for by your friends? It might be easier for us to remember the times that we have resisted it, been embarrassed by it, or even maybe resented it a little bit. These are things that we need to be aware of so that we can begin working against them. I am not saying that we begin looking at others as our slaves, that we look at others expecting them to take care of us, but rather that we cultivate a spirit of humility that isn't just seeing what is wrong with us, but that allows us to be loved by others, because love exists in an exchange. St. John Paul II said, man finds himself in a sincere gift of himself. So if we refuse to allow others to make a sincere gift of themselves by refusing to accept that gift, we are limiting their capacity to love, and in fact, reinforcing our own attempts at self-sufficiency. But also then, as we approach God, as we go to the spiritual life, what is the first thing we think of? Is it, what do I have to do for God? What have I done wrong that I must apologize to God for? If these are the places that we begin, we need to reorder the priorities of our spiritual life, because we are beginning from the place of doing. It sounds like it's humility. It sounds like it's poverty. Oh, look at me, a poor sinner. Look at me, somebody who is in need. But catch that first part. Look at me. Whereas the person who is cared for by the Good Samaritan isn't able to cry out, isn't able to effect some sort of exchange. It is the sheer graciousness of the Good Samaritan that ends up being their salvation. And the Samaritan is so generous that even when they wake up in that inn, when they're still going to need to be cared for, he has provided for it and intends to continue providing for it, so much so that the person could build up a debt and he will pay it off when he comes back. God's continual attitude towards us is one of generosity. So is our continual attitude towards him one of receptivity. So this is very helpful for us as we consider how we structure our prayer. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, but many of the other saints as well, follow a model where when they go to prayer, what they begin with is actually an awareness of God's attention towards them. This is where we have been influenced by some of the secular cultural myths, seeing God as that bearded old man in the clouds who is at a distance from us, or seeing him as some sort of repetition of the Greek gods and goddesses who only cares about the grander sweep of nations and cultures, but not about us individual little peons. But of course, the God of the gospel, our God, is the opposite. He implicates himself not just in the movements of nations or of cultures, but in the hearts of small, fragile human beings. Zacchaeus, I have greatly desired to come to your house. We see over and over in the gospel, Jesus coming into the lives of individual people, and he desires to do so with us. So do we begin with that awareness of a God who is intimately concerned with our life? And then do we begin with gratitude? And mind you, this is not a groveling kind of gratitude. Woe is me, I'm not worthy again. Me, I, turns us back in on ourselves. But instead, a gratitude that looks to the generosity of the giver. A gratitude that moves us to love. Something that is so immense that the way that it defeats our pride is by captivating us with the immensity of love. That is what God desires for each of us to begin our prayer with. And then we can be honest about what our needs are. Because we are now speaking to the one that we know to be generous and we are able to trust, there is no question of, I'll pay you back when I can. Are you sure there isn't anything that I can do for you? Instead, we adopt the proper position of being a creature before our Creator, but bonded together in chosen love. And in that recognition of our proper roles, we live true and authentic humility. And then in that, we are made more than we ever could be. This is Augustine's great insight in, as he talks about the animal, the beast of burden, the donkey, that the Good Samaritan picks the man up and places him on his own animal. Augustine identifies that with Jesus' divinity, and that this is what he does with our humanity. So we don't earn our way to a divinized life. We don't beat ourselves up into it through an acceptance of brutal penance either. Instead, we become lost in the generous love of the Good Samaritan, of our Father, that gives us the security to begin from the place of being a humble creature, a beloved adopted child, who allows themselves to be picked up by an infinitely loving Father who desires to share his very life with his children. And so we see that even the story of the Good Samaritan sort of falls away, because it is now no longer a question of economy, but rather one of love. It isn't a matter of paying back. It's a matter of loving in return. And so as we draw close to Jesus today in the Eucharist, Hopefully, yes, we have examined. Am I worthy to receive Holy Communion? Am I well disposed? But may that examination move us instead to awe at a God who did not just simply come to give himself to us once, but who until the end of time gives himself to us, provides for us, nourishes us, not just with earthly things, but with divine life, with his own animal. And then may we have no shame in him seeing our wounds, our fragility, our humility, but may we rejoice in the generosity of a love that cares enough to draw close to us and to sustain us. And it is then, brothers and sisters, that in being made more, in being divinized with the love of God, we are able to look to others, not simply to be nice to them and to take care of them, but to love them with a divine love that builds them up, that turns their eyes not to us, but to the one who gives to them through us. So may we allow ourselves today to be cared for, every day to be cared for, by the Good Samaritan, by our loving Father.